Bible and turn to Psalm chapter number 55. Psalm chapter number 55. Once you arrive there, stand with me if you would. Psalm chapter 55. I'll read out loud verses 1 through 6. We're going to use those to launch us into the sermon of tonight. Psalm chapter 55, starting with verse number 1, it says this, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Let's pray. Father, please, I want to help someone tonight. For some, they may not need this sermon urgently, but Lord, we know they're going to need it someday. So may they pay attention, knowing that the pains of life will come upon them. But for others, this sermon tonight will get them through the week. This sermon tonight is going to salvage something in their life. Holy Spirit of God, do a supernatural work in all of our hearts tonight, please. Salvage someone, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. This psalm was penned by David. I think, if I understand history correctly, David is in Jerusalem. And probably at this time in his life, Absalom, his own son, is attacking him. David is devastated. And I want you to look right at me. Sometimes you don't realize when you're talking to the person beside you, number one, I see it, so that distracts me. But number two, the people behind you are watching you talk and play. And it's nobody all the time, but it's somebody most of the time. And so just, it's very serious to me that we listen very, very carefully. So here is David. He's in Jerusalem being attacked by his own son. His own son became disloyal and is trying to take over the kingdom. And David is devastated. And he says, if I had wings, I'd just fly out of here. That's what he said. And he cries out to God for help. He said in Psalm 55:1, he said, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Here David, he prays and asks God not to hide from him. He is desperate for God's presence. In verse number 2, he said, "Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." He's begging for God's attention. David's situation has him mourning. He's moaning and groaning. He's in deep emotional pain. In verse number 3, he said, "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." David realizes he has an enemy that's out to destroy him, and everybody remember this. If you do not have a human enemy, you do have an enemy. It's the devil. And I hate to tell you, but everybody here is going to end up having some type of a human enemy at some time in your life. I don't think anybody gets out of it. Satan and evil people were out to hurt David, and he realized it. In verse number 4, it said, "My heart is sore pained within me." And I believe he is talking about his emotional heart, but I think he's probably talking about his body. He feels like his heart is breaking and it's aching. And listen to the words that he uses. "The terrors of death are fallen upon me." He's virtually terrorized by whatever it is that's getting him down. His heart hurts. He feels like it's going to kill him. It's almost to the point where he said, I just wish I could die. In verse 5, he said, "Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me." And then he uses, you know, he used the minute terrorized a moment ago. Now he's going to use the word horror. He says, "And horror hath overwhelmed me." It's scaring him. His body is trembling. The horror of the results and the fear is overwhelming him. In verse 6, he said, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." He said, "I want to run." Let me say to everybody here, don't run. Amen. If you're not careful, there's some of you someday, every wife in here, listen to me, don't run. And every husband, don't run. Young people, don't run from God and don't run from what you're supposed to do. But we have the thought of running. David did too. David said, if I had wings, I'd fly out of here. Now, I never wished for wings. I always thought Corvette would be nice, though. But he said, I would run. David feels like his problem is bigger than him. Would you all agree? I mean, you hear how he's talking? This isn't a man saying, got it. No problem. Everything's under control. No, he's bawling and moaning and groaning and aching. And boy, he's got one foot in the door. He said, I don't know if I can do this. In verse number 5, it used the words overwhelmed. Meaning, that's over me. It's bigger than me. We all face at one time or another this type of hurt. Overwhelming hurt. And God speaks of overwhelming situations in the Bible. I looked at some of them up. It says this. Psalm 61:2 says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. There's someone with an overwhelmed heart. In Psalm 77:3, it speaks of my spirit was overwhelmed. In Psalm 124, verse number 4, it says, then the waters had overwhelmed us. It was not talking about actual water in a lake or a river, the ocean. But the pain or whatever had come upon the psalmist is in Psalm 124, he said, I felt like I was drowning. Have you ever had something come on you and you just felt like you were drowning from it? We watched our 3 grandchildren from my oldest son this week, and the grandson that we had with us, his name is Trey. Well, we have a hot tub at our house, and Trey calls it the swimming pool. He's 4, and he wanted to get in the swimming pool. So we took him out there and let him get in the hot tub. He got out in the middle of it and went under once. And I mean, he was falling backwards, and you should have seen the look on his face. The water had overwhelmed his face, and he was sucking water in and just grabbing for anything, trying to save himself. Now, I was right there, so I threw Mrs. Owens in, and she dished him out. No, but I was right there, and I grabbed a hold of him. But let me tell you something. The panic look on that boy's face when that water was just rushing at him, and it was stealing his breath. He couldn't focus. He didn't have anything to grab a hold of. Now, you ever felt that way emotionally? It was just coming at you, and you're thinking, good gravy, what am I going to make it through this? And there's a panic that overcomes you. And that's what that psalm is talking about. The waters had overwhelmed us. They weren't talking about actual water. It was talking about a grief or a heartache or a pain or something that came upon them. In Psalm 142, verse 3, it says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Now, I want to point out something. In this psalm, it's talking about someone's spirit was overwhelmed, but it said it overwhelmed within me. See, what happens to us is when sometimes we get overwhelmed, but it's within us. I'm relatively good at covering up to the outside world when I'm internally overwhelmed. I try pretty hard not to let people know I'm overwhelmed on the inside. And that's how most of us do it. Most of us don't let anybody know we're internally overwhelmed. But the psalmist said, you all may see me smile and you all may see me happy and you may just think everything's going just fine, but you have no idea what's been going on inside my broken heart and in the privacy of my life, I'm overwhelmed. And folks, I don't want you to ever miss it. You don't have to go very far, but just every other pew or so, there's somebody, I know their heartache and their pain and what they've been through, either with their health, or with relationships or financial catastrophe or whatever it is, you don't have to go very far. You'll find another person that is overwhelmed, but it's within them. You're looking at them and saying, look, I wish I was that happy. If you only knew the midnight hour for that person, some of the pain that they face. In Psalm 143, verse number 4, it says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. You know what desolate means? Empty, hopeless, lonely. Sometimes there's a problem and you just don't really know where to turn or who to turn to. Who can you trust? Who in the world would you ever reveal that to? And then you get to thinking, look, if I can't solve it, they can't either. Why bring them down with my overwhelming issue? But there's a loneliness. The word overwhelmed in the Bible is defined 3 different ways. a feeling like you're going to pass out or faint spiritually, emotionally. And some, if you let it affect you enough, you'll do it physically. Then, a second definition, to feel totally covered or buried by something to the point of fearing suffocation from the burden. It just knocks the wind out of you emotionally and spiritually. And then finally, that feeling washed or troubled, almost like drowning, swept away by it. Like, this thing's just going to carry me away. Like a dam in life has burst, and I'm being rushed downstream, and I can't get a hold of anything to stabilize my life. Those are the way the Bible defines this word, overwhelmed. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Is your overwhelmed feeling as a result of your own sin? You say, yes, preacher, I've done something, and now the result of it's overwhelming. Can I tell you something? Even if it is a sin, and the result of a sin that's overwhelmed you, God loves you and He wants to help you. Hey, are you feeling overwhelmed? Maybe it was caused by somebody else. You know, sometimes people bring overwhelming situations to our lives. It's not always something you did. Maybe it's something somebody else did. Hey, maybe you're feeling overwhelmed is due to some sudden catastrophe in life that you just didn't see coming. And folks, when someone is being overwhelmed and when the catastrophe comes, don't you ever get to the point where you're constantly passing judgment on other people. Well, that bad thing's happening to her right now because she did something bad. Number one, you have no idea why that has come upon them. And number two, you've got your hands full of taking care of your own messes. You might want to keep your nose in your business and not passing judgment on other people. You say, well, he's sick because of a sin that he committed. Look, there are all sorts of people in the Bible that were sick, and it wasn't because of the sin they committed. It's because that's what God allowed. But let me say, all of us, from time to time, every once in a while, and some more frequently than others, feel the overwhelming feeling. When that comes, when we're overwhelmed, we're overloaded, at least we think we are, we feel like our problem is bigger than us. Can I tell you? It's probably a good thing that God brings us problems that are bigger than us every once in a while. You say, why? Then you realize how much you need Him. If you could handle it all, you wouldn't need God. You know, some of the hardest people to get saved are the ones that are real good people. Matter of fact, they're so good, they're not real sure they need God and a Savior. That's too good. That's dangerous. Please listen to me. I'm going to give you some steps to take if your problem is bigger than you. It's beyond, seemingly, your solution. Number one, realize God already knows about your problem and He cares. I want you to first of all realize whatever is overwhelming to you, God already knows your problem and He cares. Here in Psalm 55, verse number 5, it said this. David said, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. But just a few verses later in verse 16, the God part steps in and it says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. David said, God already knows what I'm facing, so I know that He knows, and I know that He cares. Do you know what happens to us, though? Sometimes when we're in the hot tub of life and the water is just splashing all over us and we're panicked and we're worried that we're going to be overwhelmed, we even forget there is God. It's like, oh, what's coming upon me? And we almost tend to act emotionally like some atheists. There is no God. There is no solution. There is no hope. Oh, everything's so bad. Everybody, no, you know, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat worms. Well, Psalm 55:17, David then says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. When you are overwhelmed and your problem is bigger than you, the first thing you need to do is realize that God knows and He cares about your problem. Your problem is not a shock to Him. In verse 18 of Psalm 55, it says, He hath delivered my soul. In Psalm 55, 19, it says, God shall hear. In Psalm 55, 20, it says, He hath put forth His hands. In Psalm 55, 22, it says, He shall sustain thee. Now, what you do when your problem's bigger than you is, number one, you realize God already knows your problem and He cares about it. If you'll start there, that's a good start. Number two, tell God that you know that your problem is bigger than you. Tell Him that. You say, why would I need to tell Him that if He already knows? Because this human race has a tendency to be filled with pride, and they're not real good at admitting to their weaknesses. So it would be a good idea for you to check in with God. First of all, you realize God knows about your problem. The smart thing then would be to turn to God and say, God, I happen to know I'm facing a problem that is not going to be solved by me alone. There's a humility in what I'm recommending. In Psalm 143, verse 4, it says, Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within in me. That's that word. A problem's bigger than someone. My heart within me is desolate. Now, David says, my spirit's overwhelmed. David said, my heart is desolate. David said, I am just blown away by my hurt. But there's no arrogant attitude taking place here. There's not pride that's seen. See, you're more apt to get God's help if you're not cocky. You know that pride is a thief and pride is a liar. This may be where God wanted you in the first place. I think sometimes God brings problems that are bigger than us upon us because we tend to not need God unless we're put in a situation to where we have to have Him. You know, ultimately in the Christian life, you know what your life's all about? God. God, that's what it's all about, needing God. Have you forgotten how desperately you need God? Let's not only desperately need God when we're facing overwhelming matters, but let's need Him all the time. You need God. You need God. So if you say, preacher, I'm facing something that's bigger than me, number one, realize God already knows about your problem and He cares. Number two, we've got to approach God properly about our problem, and it should not be arrogantly. It should be without pride. It doesn't hurt for us sometimes to go to God and say, Lord, this is a whole lot bigger than me. God needs to see your humility. Man can be very arrogant with God. Has the overwhelming issue, and I hate to say this to you, are you to the point where the overwhelming issue has caused you to crumble at His feet? That may be what it takes. And I'm an upbeat kind of a person, but I'm a realist. There have been more than one time in my life when I had to come to the point where I said, okay, now God knows what I'm going through. And I found myself falling apart in His presence, saying, I can't do this. I have to have You. This is bigger than me. You say, what's the purpose? God will be with those that are of a contrite spirit. The human race needs humbled. And we're a part of that human race. If your problem is bigger than you, God knows. And He cares. And when you approach Him in humility. Go and be honest and say, God, as far as I can tell, this is bigger than me. You'll get God's attention that way. You say, what next? Number three, realize then your problem is not bigger than God. It's bigger than you. This is bad English, but it's good preaching. It ain't bigger than God. Oh no. In Psalm 124, verse 4, we hear the word overwhelmed. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. But then in Psalm 124:1, David said, if I had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, see, had it not been for the Lord, the Bible says, or David said, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side. Now listen to me. You have a problem. God already knows that you have it. He cares about that. When you approach Him in humility and just go ahead and say, Lord, I'm facing something that's bigger than me and I'm going to have Your help. And then realize this is where you build up your confidence and this is where you build up for the future victory. Then you say, but I know the problem's bigger than me. Now you build God up and you say, but God, I know it's not bigger than You. That's a real good way to approaching God to get some help. Now, when you go and say, God, this problem is so big, be careful now. It's bigger than you, but not bigger than Him. So you go ahead and say, it's bigger than me. And then you turn around and say, but God, it's not bigger than You, and I already know. That's why I'm coming to see you. Do you know what it is to worship God? It's not some of those hocus-pocus worship services they have out there. You are looking at the qualities of God and giving Him credit for those qualities that He possesses. What's one of His great qualities? His omnipresence, His omniscience. And then He is an all-powerful God. He's everywhere, He knows everything, and He has all power. And when I go to Him and say, God, this is beyond me, I do that in humility. And then I look up and say, but it's not beyond You. And God said, you got this thing all planned out, don't you? You knew that I knew, and you're coming to see me because you can't, but you know that I can. And yes, and you say, where did you learn that? Well, from the Scripture, God. Because while I'm busy pushing me down, I want to be lifting you up. And He said, and I, if I shall be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me. And why does He draw us unto Him? Well, to save us or to help us. So when you approach Him with this problem, remember, it is bigger than you. But always remember, it's not bigger than Him. God is overwhelmed. You remember that feeling of drowning? Guess who your lifeguard is? God. My little grandson Trey, when he's just panicked going backwards, sucking water in. I mean, that little white face without a tan on it's grabbing for something and there was nothing there. You know what I did? I threw my arm out in the middle of that hot tub. He grabbed a hold of that, come up looking at me, smiling. I'll tell you what, Brother Edwards. More than one time in life, I've been falling backwards. I'm just floundering in the water. I'm sucking it in. I'm reaching, and all of a sudden, I look up, and there's the hand. And I grab a hold of it, and God said, don't worry, son. I got you. I got you. You're going to be okay. You see, your problem's bigger than you, but it's not bigger than our God. We've got the mighty lifeguard. You know, David's God was bigger than Goliath. Good thing. You know, your problem may be bigger than you. It may be bigger than you and your best friend put together. It may be bigger than me and you and the entire congregation. But there is no problem. There is no mountain so high that God can't help you to climb it. There is no burden so heavy that God can't help you to bear it. There is no pain so deep that God cannot heal it. There is no issue so overwhelming that the lifeguard of our God can't help you. Noah knew that God was bigger than the flood. And Daniel knew that God was bigger than the lions. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that their God was bigger than a burning fiery furnace. And Joshua knew that God was bigger than Jericho. And Moses knew that God was bigger than Pharaoh in captivity. I think every one of them looked at the job and said, this is bigger than me. I can't do this. God said, good. I see that you understand you need me. And if they were smart, they looked up and said, it's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. We can go do this together, God. And that's what happened. And when you've got a problem bigger than you, God knows. He needs you to come and tell Him that you know in your humility. And then you remind Him that you know how great a God He is and that He can help you through it. Hey, look, you think you have problems. I heard one of our bus kids say, he said, my dad can beat up your dad. The other boy said, so what? Big deal. So can my mom. Let me give you the next step. Realize God already knows. Then realize this. You come to Him in humility. Just admit, it's bigger than you. Then remind Him, you know it's not bigger than him. Then number four, do what you can. Do what you can. Psalm 77:3 says, I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Okay, there's the overwhelmed David. Then in verse 6 it said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune in mine own spirit. And my spirit made diligent search. You know what's happening? David said, I'm facing something that's bigger than me. I know God knows. I'll admit it to him. And I know he can solve the problem. But folks, just so you know, just because God can solve the problem doesn't mean that you lie back in your rocking chair of do-nothing and sit there and whine and complain and just lay there like a bump on a log and say, come on, God, bail me out. God doesn't bail people out that could be bailing themselves out a little bit. In other words, you're to do what you can. God doesn't usually kick in until you're wore out. What am I saying? David said here, I'm overwhelmed. He said, and I'm asking for help, but I'll see if I can sing my way through this thing. You say, what? They won't tell you that at the psychologist's office. He said, I'm going to try to sing my way through this thing. What? He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Do you know tonight and today, all day long, there's some of you came to church, and the music has helped your spirit. There's some of you came in not feeling like you could make it, but something happened. You said, you know what? I'm getting a good old dose of gospel singing, and there's some encouragement coming in my heart. But folks, let me tell you something. When you're going through the tough time, if you lie there and just moan and groan and whine and whine and whine, but you don't do anything, you can all be glad that you're not my child. Because you were my child and you were 3 years of age and you were lying on the ground whining and griping like a big baby. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to leave you there. And so you know, there's some of you feel like you're not getting the help you need from God, and God's telling you to stop the whining and get up and do everything you can. Wear yourself out trying to get through this thing. And God will say, I know when you're going to need me, and you're not putting everything you ought to into it first. Look, there are many a time when my kids needed some help, and I didn't help until I knew they'd help themselves. Say, why? Because I love them. You don't do everything for your children. They'll end up being a bunch of welfare-minded, spoiled brats. They need to learn how to make it on their own. Now, I help. And I know parents in here that'll help. But you don't do everything for them. And don't you think if you and I as a human race has that much common sense that God does too? God doesn't do everything for us that we should be doing for ourselves. You say, well, I don't feel like he's helping me at all right now. I guess then the ball's in your court, baby. Because if he really thought he had to step up for you, he'd probably be doing it. That must mean you have energy left. That must mean you've not done all that you're supposed to do. That must mean you're spending more time whining and griping about it than trying to solve the issue. David said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He said, I commune with mine own spirit. He said, I'll try to sing my way through this. He said, I'll get me some songs and I'll see if I can encourage myself by singing. And then he said, I'm going to commune with my own heart. You know what David's doing? He's coaching himself. Y'all ever coach yourself? There are times I'll face a burden and I'll look at me and I'll say, you're in deep now, aren't you? And I'll say, I sure am. Well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to bleed for a little while. I'm just sure of it. I'm going to bleed. Then what are you going to do? I'm going to have to get on top of this thing. I'm going to have victory because there are people counting on me to get through it. I have to coach myself. It'd be a good idea for some of you to coach yourselves. When you're having a tough time, go look in the mirror and ask yourself, you going to let this get you down? I hope the mirror look back and say, no, fool, get out there and do something about it. You know some of the things to do. David said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own spirit. My spirit made diligent search. What was the spirit looking for? Answers, solutions, how to get through this thing. And let me tell you one way to get through a lot of heartache. Stop looking at what you don't have and look at what you do have. What it is, we lose or we think we suffer loss, and we get depressed because we look at what we don't have. The best thing in the world for you and I to look at is what we do have. You say, but preacher, I'm so poor, I don't have anything. That's one of the worst things in the world to ever hear a Christian say, I don't have anything. When you got saved, you got everything that you needed. If you're saved, you can't go to hell. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. You have heaven as your future. The Holy Spirit is your guide. And if you say, well, I really don't have much. Oh, that's tomfoolery. You do have a lot. I would rather be saved and poor than lost and rich any day of the week. You're never going to go to hell. But listen, you need to do what you can to get yourself through this. What can you do to keep going forward? What can you do not to make it worse? What can you do to get right with God? What can you do? Well, stay in your Bible. What can you do? Be faithful to church. I'm amazed at people that are going through a tough time and they don't show up to church half the time. You think that's the solution? Sorry, it's not. What can you do? Well, keep going forward. When you're overwhelmed, don't make it worse. Do everything you can. That's what David said. David said in Psalm 77:3, I'm overwhelmed. In verse 6 he said, well, I'm going to chip in everything I can. I'm not going to expect God to do for me what God expected me to do for myself. I'm going to try to sing my way through this. I'm going to make a diligent search for solutions and what I can do. I'll do what I can. Then God will do the rest. You say, preacher, I want a miracle. God doesn't usually give miracles to people that won't do what they need to do to get a miracle. God just doesn't give miracles out freely for people that just want one. Are there not prerequisites to all blessings? Sure. So, I'm almost finished. Number one, if you're overwhelmed, if it's bigger than you, realize God already knows that. And He cares. What do? You approach Him right. You come in humility. Don't be afraid to say, God, it's bigger than me. That helps Him to understand that you're not coming in arrogance or pride. Then what do? I realize then that the problem's bigger than me, but I also realize it's not bigger than God. And I'll remind Him that I know who He is. I've already reminded Him I know who I am. Nothing. Now I'm going to remind Him I know who He is. What's that? Everything. Then what? Then I'm going to do what I can. I've got to do what I can do. God's not going to just hand me the solution. He's going to have it. Look, you say, I have some health issues and I want God to do a miracle and heal my body. Well, you may have to eat right along the way too. You may have to exercise. You may have to do what the doctor told you to do. God doesn't usually come along with people that are prone to self-destruction and say, I'll work a miracle. I'm going to heal you all the way and take care of it all, and you don't have to do anything. That's not how God thinks. God wants you to do your part. And then finally, beg God to do the rest. Beg God to do the rest. In Psalm 142, verse 3, it says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. And in verse 5 through 7, he said, I cried unto the Lord. What happened is David said, I knew it. I was overwhelmed by it. I decided I'd do everything that I could to fix it. I approached God and told Him, I know I can't do it, but I know that You can. Now, I'll do everything I can because I know You're not just going to hand it to me. Then he came back to God as he was doing everything he could. He said, God, I'm just going to need You to do the rest. That's how you can get through something that's bigger than you. Beg God then to do the rest. You say beg? That's a key word too. Have you ever been to the point where you needed to beg God? I'm not talking about some of your flippant little quick little prayers. Oh, God bless me, amen. You feel like you've got a deep prayer life. No, I'm talking about something's bigger than you, and it's overwhelming, and you're devastated by it, and you're drowning in the pain of it. And then you're humbled to the point where you're begging God. Oh my Lord, help me, help me, help me. And I mean, it's sincere. That is the way to handle something bigger than you. Let me give you the points and we're going to be done. Realize God already knows, and He cares. Approach Him properly. Approach him in humility. Don't be afraid to say, I know it's bigger than me. I know what I am. Then let him know you know what he is. You know who he is. You know he can. Then you do everything you can. You do all you can to solve the problem. Then you turn to God and say, God, I'm just going to need help with the rest. I don't know how to do the rest. Folks, let me tell you something about a building. We need a new building. We're all praying that God will give us a new building. He's not going to give us a new building until we've done everything we can do. And it wears you out. Amen, Brother Young? All the research, everything that goes into it. But God's not going to lay it in our lap. God is a God of character and work. He's going to say, I want you all to do everything you can. Then, after you've done what you can, then we go to God and say, God, now we've done what we can. Now we need you to help with the rest. But what are you facing with your health? Yeah, there are health issues that are bigger than us. I've given you the solution. Is it a relationship issue? Is it a heartache? Is it something that nobody knows about in life? Is it, has a catastrophe come upon you that nobody knows and you're overwhelmed by it? You're breathing, you're sucking in the air as the waves are overwhelming you. I've given you the answer. God knows. Realize what you are. Realize what He is. Do everything you can. Ask God to do the rest. I know that's very simple. That's very scriptural. I've simplified a process in life. Hey, let's get through this. You say, what? I don't know. Whatever you might be facing that's bigger than you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here tonight would say, preacher, God has definitely spoken to my heart tonight. Something in that sermon that I needed desperately. And God has spoken to me and I know it. Would you raise your hand and say, He's spoken to me and I know it. I see hands all over the place. God bless you. If you need the altar will be open. If you're here tonight, you're not saved and you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But if you need the altar, you come. And I realize we have a full house. I mean, there's no room for anybody else in this auditorium. But listen, if you need to come forward, come as far forward as you can. If you need to get on your knees right there at your pew, you may. But let's let God know we believe His book. And when we face something bigger than us, we're going to follow His process to get through it. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you need to come forward. You come as far forward as you can. Maybe you need to kneel at your seat. What heartache are you facing? What burden? What issue? What's come upon you? Maybe you caused it yourself. There's a way to get through it. Maybe somebody else caused it. Maybe it's just a pain or a burden of life. Maybe it's something from the past. It's bigger than you. But we can get through it. God already knows about your problem. He cares about you. Go to God and say, God, it's just bigger than me. I can't fix that thing. If I could make it go away, I would, but I can't. But then you say, but God, wait a minute. I know it's not bigger than you. And then you say, God, I'll make sure I don't make it worse. I will not complicate what someone's done to me or what I've done to myself. I'll do everything I can to improve it. And then finally, you beg God to do the rest. Once you're done praying, don't make the people feel like they have to move out of the way in the aisle for you to get to your place. David said, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from me and from my supplication. David said, I am flat out overwhelmed. I weep, I mourn. It's affecting my body, my heart, physically. I just don't have the answer. But thank God, David said, I know somebody who has the answer. And I will go and throw myself before him in all humility. And I'll remind him, I know I'm nothing, but he's everything. I'll do anything I can to help because I just want to be a part of the solution. And I'll let God do the rest. And I'll promise you, I'll promise you that's God's way. This is the last time through the song, and we'll conclude this portion of our service.